Hey guys, this is Ferdy from IcyVeins.com, and you're listening to the Training Dummies. With Rob.
You kids these days, the mask isn't supposed to be a bat.
And Daryl.
It's a wolf, and a dark one at that.
Good evening and welcome to episode 220 of the Training Dummies podcast, recorded for you on September 5th. My name is Rob, and I'm changing mains.
What?
Doing it. Ta-da. No,
right.
I'm not.
Oh, okay. Jeez, I'm like, what? All right.
I was wondering if you would catch that or if you would, I don't know. I've been leveling a warrior, and it's been surprisingly awesome, so.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm in that mode where, like, the honeymoon phase with the warrior, where you're, you know how when you're leveling the tune and you're like one, you know, between 110 and 115, and everything just dies when you look at it, and you're just running around crushing everything, and it's awesome. Yep. And then you get to 116, 118, and it starts to get like that scaling, that weird scaling kicks in, and it sucks. Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't hit there yet, so maybe that's why I'm like, dude, this is amazing. So I've been rocking it as Fury. Yeah.
Nice.
How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good. I ran a 12K last Thursday. That was something else. I got a 10K next weekend. So yeah, that's exciting as well, I guess.
You're on point, man. I just had some family out here for vacation. My daughter's birthday and my birthday are kind of close together, so we had some family out, and I have been in complete like eat all the things mode.
Nice.
Where we're just like, I'm eating like a dump truck, man. It's been great, but I'm going to pay for it to get back on track. But.
Yeah.
Well, tonight we have a very, very special guest all the way from the internet.
It's really far away.
Can we get a warm Training Dummies welcome for a comp?
How's it going?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Man, I feel like you're one of those guys that's been around the community for a super, super, super long time, and I feel like kind of everybody knows who you are at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, especially considering a lot of the community work that I do is really just a hobby. It's always just kind of been that way. It's just something I've done for fun for the last, I don't know, I guess 10 years or so. I've done content creation, just guides, whatever the case might be, but
yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
You did a bunch of Diablo stuff for a while, right?
I did, yeah. I used to be pretty heavy into Diablo 2 growing up, as I think we all probably were.
Absolutely,
but,
Yeah,
did a good bit of Diablo 3 for quite some time. Pretty
well, before we get into like the meat of the show, maybe you can talk about your background in gaming and, you know, what you do kind of in the community and what you've just been up to.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Comp. For those of you who don't know me or haven't had the pleasure to, you know, make me look bad in any form of video game. So I am, I guess what you would call an MMO enthusiast. It's definitely my forte is playing various MMOs, mostly Blizzard games, but you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't play other things as well. But as far as my WoW experience goes, I mean, I've been playing WoW since December 2004, shortly after launch, and played on and off, you know, since then, mostly on. I've mained a rogue since Wrath. That's kind of been my baby, is the rogue. I went and played Demon Hunter for a little bit, but it always comes back to the rogue. That's just my home right there. But yeah, as far as what I do in the community, something that I've really always enjoyed is diving into various MMOs and really learning about their systems and their mechanics. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to either a new MMO coming out or an expansion or whatever the case is, that's kind of where my content creation comes from. It's usually in the form of so kind of user experience and usability fall into my professional experience, and then the passion side is gaming. So those two together form, you know, written guides and video guides. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't really these days I'm not too hardcore into the game. I used to be somewhat, you know, top 50 US rating experience, nothing, you know, super crazy, but higher end at that point, and that was really during Wrath. But these days, you know, it's pugging, and I think that's really where I meet a lot of people, is just through hours of bashing my face against the keyboard.
I know you talked about, like, just kind of like getting to know the systems, and you know, that's where a lot of your content creation comes from. I saw that right away, even when with Battle for Azeroth coming out, like right away I saw you just like who you are as a person, saying, hey, you know, make sure to check this out, make sure to do this, you know, once you hit 120, hit these things, do these things, and like kind of just highlighting it all. But it's all like, just, you could just tell it's like out of just the kind of a love for the game and just like, you know, the excitement around it. And I totally love that stuff. It's super cool to see you do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I did spend, you know, the past, not so much the past year or so, but for a few years, I was playing pretty heavily with the Convert to Raid group. And they, you know, they have this huge community on Airy Peak where they kind of, they gather a bunch of like-minded individuals who maybe aren't, you know, really hard progression raiders, but there's a lot of people who really care about the game and they want to see the content that maybe, you know, one whom Mythic Raider might not think about in a different way. So a lot of the content creation and stuff like that really shined in that environment, because I could take these sometimes complex systems, especially when you talk about things like, you know, parsing and looking at your sims at various configurations and figure out what, you know, what's best here, what's best here, how do we do that, and really just simplifying it in such a way that you can communicate it very clearly but still get the point across, and it really kind of clicks with people to just be able to explain systems in a way that is just easily consumable. And I think sometimes a lot of game developers struggle with that, just because there's so much behind the scenes. So that's really what I enjoy, is spur of the moment thoughts. Like you said, if you look at my Twitter, it's there's so many like, oh, this would have been good to know 45 hours ago, and things like that. Yeah. So I, you know, try to share that where possible. But yeah, that's a big part of my content creation is honestly Twitter, probably more so than the written guides. So lately, anyway, past couple of years.
Yeah, well, I know you've been working on something. I think that's what we're going to get into here. Daryl, do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm good to jump in.
All right.
All right. Well, if you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. Myself, Daryl, is at Daryl_TTD. Also, if you like this show and want to support us, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/trainingdummies. No obligation, of course. We're just happy that you listen. So you have written an add-on, and that's, you know, one of the big things we're going to talk about today, and it's called World Quest Party. Now, I'm going to admit something here. I have not downloaded this add-on yet. Rob has told me about it. I know, Rob has told me about it, and every time I log in, I'm like, oh, I should do that. And it's like, nah, I just jump in and get playing. So part of your goal today is to convince me to, as soon as we're done recording, hop onto Twitch there and download it. So that's your goal today. So I guess we'll just start off at the beginning, though. What made you want to write an add-on in the first place?
Okay, so like I said, by profession, I'm a UI engineer. So what I do for a living is literally creating interfaces that people use, you know. Obviously, it's my professional career is a bit different than my gaming audience, but same idea, right? In that you identify these problems and you want to come up with a simple, intuitive way that you can solve these problems without creating, you know, intrusive experiences for the user. And that's really what we are dealing with here. So when we looked at Legion, World Quest or Group Finder, where everyone and their mother had it installed, and it was literally a situation where you enter a world quest, you click a button, and you're grouped up with someone, right? That was the entire experience, and that's why it worked so well, is because it was this just seamless, simple thing. Didn't, you know, create any negative impacts in the game that we saw. But there were definitely some issues. So when we got into BFA, Blizzard, you know, started cracking down on this stuff, right? And they got rid of Quest Group Finder and all that. And all of a sudden, the community started realizing that, wait a minute, the actual native implementation of World Quests kind of sucks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not fun. And the reason why we used World Quest Group Finder is because we wanted to finish those World Quests quickly with other people. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, that experience was gone. You know, there just wasn't even an option anymore. So that's kind of the background to how this kind of got kicked off, right? We identified this problem, and I literally opened up Photoshop and a Google Doc and just started writing notes. You know, what are the problems we're trying to solve? Really take a step back and say, what are we trying to do? We're trying to create a simple experience for players to be able to group together and complete world quests. That was that's the goal. That was the single driver behind all of this. So I kind of got all my stuff together and, you know, wrote all the requirements and a couple Photoshop comps to show it might look like this. And I reached out to Twitter and said, hey, is there anyone that wants to help me build this, right? I'm a UI engineer by profession, but I don't Lua, which is the add-on language for WoW, that I'm not experienced in Lua. So, you know, I know some programming, but I don't know Lua. So one of my Twitter buds, the Backstabby, reached out and he's like, hey, I'll help you do it. And that's where it kicked off. And we just literally over the course of, I think, a week and a half, we went from an idea in my head to working World Quest Party.
Nice.
In game.
That's awesome. So. Yeah. So I may skip around on some of these points that we have here. So you mentioned that, you know, we had the kind of the end all be all one stop group add on before with Legion and that got broken or taken away. And this may dip into some of the drama and what's going on with it now. But, so how can you approach an add-on like this with Blizzard blatantly saying, we don't like that experience. We don't like you grouping up and finishing something in 30 seconds or somebody hitting yes, finish, good, done, bye. You know, like how can you now approach the concept of a party add-on for World Quests when it's kind of being beat down at every stop?
Yeah, it's a tough one because honestly, their stance on this has very bluntly, it's changed over time. Mm-hmm. So originally when they got rid of it, it wasn't an experience problem. That wasn't something that they were harping on. Mm-hmm. It was the feedback that was received was basically it was a technical problem where they were saying, hey, all the players constantly switching realms, you know, every 10 seconds or something, someone was switching a realm and that's just hammering on their servers from a technical perspective to the point where the capacity just couldn't keep up. And we saw some of the issues with that during high pop situations where it was just chugging, right? The original feedback was hitting really bad on servers were cutting it off, out, you know, a core piece of the functionality to be able to copy and paste, which ultimately broke the add-on. So when that happened, there were a couple add-ons which they tried to mimic, right? They tried to imitate the same solution to the problem. And those still exist today, and they're usable, but they still use the native group finder in-game. Mm-hmm. So that's when we took a different approach. Like I said earlier, we took a step back and said, hey, what is the problem we're trying to solve here? Because I don't think it's been solved since World Quest Group Finder. And that's when we started thinking, you know, how can we build something that will address this problem, but it will also kind of respect what Blizzard is working towards. And at that time, that was, you know, the server issues. So we were like, if what we want to do is really just create an experience where a player can run up to a world quest, get a dialogue box, click join, and they'll be joined, you know, grouped with like-minded people doing the same thing. That's excellent. That's at the end of the day, whether you're doing that manually or through an add-on, that's the experience, right? You run up to a world quest and you look around for people doing the same thing and you join with them. So what we're doing is essentially making that such that you walk up there and you have the ability to group with a single button click with people on your realm or connected realms.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't use Group Finder at all.
So it's that's like a local kind of thing.
Yeah, so just your realm and connected realms and matching your war mode, which we know Group Finder doesn't necessarily do right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do it all behind the scenes through the add-on itself. So the players never see any of that. It's all completely behind the scenes, and all the player has to interact with is really just that one button.
That's awesome. I like that. I like that it still maintains the spirit of it because, with basically, especially at this point of the expansion where it's all new content and half the time, you're sub item level 300 and you're just not there yet. And you can't even do one of the easy world quests by yourself. Yeah. So you're kind of like, oh, I see a guy over there. You need another person or two to kind of help you mitigate that. And
or if you're playing a healer,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Never mind if you're playing war mode. We know how that exactly. goes. So. Yeah, but that's the idea. And another thought that was kind of going through my head when we were thinking about all this is taking this approach, just scoping to your realm and connected realms, it also kind of brings back that my server feel. Mm-hmm. Right, because you're not randomly grouping.
Yeah, the
community
approach.
Yeah, you're not randomly grouping with someone on some random server that isn't even connected to yours. You have a predefined group of people, and one of the early things that we're dealing with World Quest Party is really that until more people download it, you're not going to run into many groups. Right now we're sitting, I think we just passed 60,000 unique users, which is great for, the couple weeks we've been out, 3 weeks, I think, at this point. But that number needs to go way, way, way up. And when it does, you'll start seeing, I'm entering a world quest area and there's three different groups I can join at the click of a button. And those are all people I'm familiar with because they're on my realm or connected realms. I've seen their name in general and things like that. So it adds that dynamic, which I think is nice. It's something we've kind of been missing from the game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just another little nice to have, I guess, the byproduct.
Yeah. So how much time have you spent right now keeping it, with some of the adjustments that are coming back from Blizzard? How much time do you have to spend keeping it current or fixing bugs or whatnot?
So I'm going to give most of the credit here to Backstabby. He does most of the actual programming on the add-on itself. But I talked with him earlier and he was mentioning, he spends maybe an hour or two a day kind of going through, debugging issues that we see that pop up or maybe slight enhancements working towards improvements. We just, launched a whole configuration menu with some nice options that you can do and things like that. And for me, it's probably about the same. And again, just doing all the PR for it, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking about problems and things like that. So maybe between the both of us, 3 to 4 hours a day, I'd say, split across two people.
That's a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still early on too. So, keeping in mind that a lot of the stuff a big focus of mine right now is, and this will probably lead into, our further discussion around kind of the drama nonsense around a lot of the world questing parties or add-ons right now. But a big focus of mine right now is gathering user feedback. So I'm on the forums, I'm on Twitter, I'm on all these different platforms, just reading about what are people saying about our add-on, what are they saying about others' add-ons, world questing in general, and really just trying to gather as much information as I possibly can. That way we can make, more informed decisions when it comes to how do we make World Quest Party better, for our players. And that's, at the end of the day, that's really all we're trying to do.
So maybe you've answered this already, but how do you actually use World Quest Party? Because like I said, I haven't actually used it before. So this is...
Sure.
This is a real question I'm asking. This is what I need to know.
Yeah. That's good, because you're not the only one. right? Like I said, we've got a big chunk of people using it, and they, you know, the feedback has been great. But we're such a small chunk right now. I think we're, last I checked, we're something like top 150 add-ons on Twitch, which is great considering it's just two of us. But like I said, in order for the add-on to really be how we envisioned it and how in that experience, we need, you know, seven, eight times more people to have it. But currently, how you use the add-on, really, really simple, right? You install the add-on through Twitch, just like any other add-on, boom, done. You walk up to a world quest, and there will be a window that pops up. That window will say the name of the world quest, and it will give you the ability to either join a group, if there are any groups available, or you'll be able to create a group. And it does that, like I said, not using the group finder, so it does it kind of all behind the scenes. But you create or join a group, and there's also the ability to post looking for more. So when you create a group, you'll be able to click another button that says post looking for more. And just like if you were to do it manually, say you're doing a quest and you need some help, you can post the general chat and it'll just say, you know, super simple, right? Looking for more of this quest. And that's really it. So depending on how many people are around, the population comes up later on when, you know, when the pawn it to be, there's going to be way less of that. And you'll just walk up to a world quest area and you'll probably see a group party existing. You just join their party and it instantly invites you to their party. And that's it. Just really simple. One button click at all times. Non-intrusive. Just that's all. That's all we want is just how do we easily... How do we let players easily group up with each other to quickly finish a world quest? And that's
so like the more people do this, the better it's going to get.
Absolutely. The more people that download it, the better the experience gets for everybody.
One thing that Hawkeye was talking about in chat before we started was kind of maybe you could talk about the differences between World Quest Party and some of the other. Similar add-ons that are floating around?
Yeah, sure. So I'll talk about the ones that I... How do I put this? So the other add-ons that are available, they have their pros and their cons. The ones that I've seen that people like the most are ones like World Quest List, where they really... They actually have a lot of functionality outside of just forming groups, which I think is really nice. There's a lot of nice-to-haves that are added to that, so I think they did a really good job there. One of the things that they have is, remember how earlier I had mentioned that some of the add-ons tried to kind of recreate that World Quest Group Finder implementation? This is one of them, where you can enter a world quest and it gives you an ID, and you have to type that ID into the group finder. So if you are someone who doesn't use the add-on and you're genuinely in group finder searching for a group, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but you search there's like 84,000 quests that are groups that are like 8765432. So
yeah,
to me, that's not maybe not the best implementation.
I think it's a workaround, but yeah, it is.
And it's what we have to do, right, to get that particular implementation. But that's why we didn't go that route. It's because we don't want to negatively impact users that don't use our add-on. And that's something we've been really, really particular about. And we're probably suffering a little bit because of it, right? Because we could go that route and be really aggressive about it, but it's a fine line. So that's one of them. The other ones I don't have as nice things to say, I guess you could say.
It's all good. I'm not trying to like start a...
Yeah, anything, no, but, no. Yeah. And I mean, everyone's trying to solve this problem. We can get around what really at the core of the issue is that World Quest implementation in WoW, it's lacking. Right? It's not fun to do after you've done it 47 times, right?
Yeah.
Some of the other ones, and I'm sure you guys have seen this if you've played in-game recently, around the world questing areas, but one of them does like proximity inviting, where...
Yeah, invite nearby players.
Yeah, we talked about that early on, and we vetoed that real quick. Where you can basically, if you're on a world quest, you can search for all the players around you, and it'll just ninja invite people. And that's great if they're doing it, but not if they're on a flight path, just flying by.
Or if they're like not even doing that quest, they're doing something else.
Or if they've been in Dungeon Finder queue for the last 45 minutes and they accidentally hit your button.
Yeah, and it kicks them out of queue. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So that's a lot of the feedback that I've seen around that. And
yikes. Again,
it's intrusive, right? Yeah. It falls back to that. And those are things that we're trying to really think about and be respectful of, because it's rough. But again, they're workarounds because of this core problem that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more aggressive that people are with these solutions, I think that is what's potentially pushing Blizzard into making it more and more difficult.
It's tough because yes and no. People are more aggressive because there's so much feedback to Blizzard saying this is a problem, right? Mm-hmm. This is not fun, and the reason why we want to form groups is because we want to get it done and over with, right? That it sounds ridiculous, but at the end of the day, that's really what you're trying to do is just quickly complete.
Well, do you want to spend an hour on emissaries, or do you want to spend 15 minutes on
Exactly, yeah. Especially with six zones, right? So that's where it starts running into, I just want to finish these quickly.
And a lot of them are spread out. They're not necessarily just one zone. You know, they're Unbound and Champions of Azeroth. You're like, you could end up going to four different zones to knock out
some of them pieces. Take a while, too, right? Like some of the Champions of Azeroth ones, those take a considerable amount of time to go kill all those ads if you're solo, right? You could spend a couple hours doing a full clear. No one wants to do that, right? You can go spend your time better doing something else in the game that is engaging to you.
Mm-hmm. Leveling a warrior.
Right, leveling a rogue. Right, you're right. Leveling a rogue. no, but that's kind of the point there. And I think to your point, and maybe this is kind of a good segue into some of the drama we've seen recently, is people are getting more aggressive, and it's creating almost a hostile environment in game, where, you know, the most recent thing happened this past weekend, where an add-on developer decided it would be a good idea to implement functionality into his add-on that would spam people with whispers that were using any of these add-ons that say, don't use world quest add-ons. I'm talking like 8 tells to the same person, and this is to their users. This is a ninja implemented into their add-on to do this, so these users had no idea they were spamming
They were spamming people.
Without knowing.
Just automatically.
Wow.
So that's what it's creating, right, is this environment that is just not healthy in any way.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's rough, right? And that's what we're trying to get around, is we're all trying to solve the same problem. Some less helpful than others in certain regards. But it's crazy. And thankfully, you know, with that situation, it was actually really nice to see the community jump on it, right? They were like, nope, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And it was taken down, you know, within maybe 8 hours of it of it being added on the curse board. And I guess, you know, this isn't that guy's first time into this type of situation, so they were kind of prepared and knew about this already, so then maybe they were kind of keeping an eye on him already. But it's pretty crazy, but it's also been really nice to see the community so passionate about something. And you have so many different opinions. You know, I put out a poll recently on Twitter just saying, what do you guys consider spam? Do you consider a party completion message when you finish a world quest spam?
Because a lot of times it's like, hey, thanks,
I'm out. Like,
or, you know, or even the add-on name, you know, hey, cool, right on, you know, like,
yep.
I have no problems with that, but I can see why somebody would, you know.
It's so split. Like, I think we had over 100 votes, and it was 52 to 48%. for back in touch, or if we having the same thing, it posts five times, right? Which
Right? You're one person, but everybody coming and going is a whole another.
Yep. Now, granted, that's the extreme. It'll never be more than that because it's posting to party chat and not a raid chat or anything like that. But those are still the situations that we want to understand and make sure that we're considering those. So, you know, when we heard that feedback, we quickly said, okay, let's figure out a way to handle this. Let's give them the ability to toggle off that message or change that message to something else. Right. Maybe they just want to say done, thanks, or nothing at all. So that's the type of stuff that this is the time frame where we're really taking the time to think and to listen to what is everyone saying? Mm-hmm. What do they love? What do they hate? And what is the consensus when it comes to, you know, those interactions? And it's been a very informative couple weeks, I'll say that.
I don't want to get into the business of naming names or anything, but are there any add-ons right now that you would probably, that you think that, you know, obviously we're talking about yours right now and we're kind of promoting that as like you said, something respectful and healthy for the community. Is there anything right now that maybe, I think I've got a couple installed, you know, cause I get a couple of pop-ups and one of them may be World Quest Tracker. And I don't know. Are there any of these that maybe we should stay away from, or is it not helpful to have more than one installed? Like I hate the whole click on the thing and next thing you know, there's just a bajillion different quest IDs listed. And, you know, and I'm like, man, I just want some help killing this thing because it's 2 million health, you know, and I can't do it by myself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I mean, the only one that I would say stay away from is the looking for group add-on. And that was the malicious one that I had just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So definitely if you have that installed, just get rid of it.
I don't think I have that one, but yeah. Okay.
Other than that, you know, like I said, there's the two popular ones are World Quest Tracker and World Quest List. And again, those have a couple things in each of them that I don't care for, but they have stuff in there that I think is very good. And I believe both of them have the ability to toggle those off. So if you don't like them and you want a certain piece of them, you know, grab them, disable what you don't want, and you know, maybe you want to use World Quest List for some of the World Quest functionality, like the turtle memory game. It'll tell you, you know, when you click on something, it'll add a little marker over it.
So jeez, really?
That's funny. Okay.
It's only a 4x4
hey,
grid.
That's
come
hard,
on.
Man.
Come on.
No, honestly, I don't even care about the group party portion of World Quest Tracker. I like, you know, how it kind of gives you the overlay and how I can manage my emissaries, you know, stuff like that. So
I like that too. Yeah.
But then there's stuff like Angry World Quests, which is very different. It just appends World Quests to your quest log. So that in itself is extremely useful if you just want a quick listing of what World Quests are available to you. So it all depends on what kind of functionality you're looking for. Finding one that does all of them exactly how you want might not be realistic, so you might need to download a couple of them to get exactly the, you know, features you're looking for.
I pop on and go, okay, you know, who's my emissary today? And then I kind of will do the scroll out map where you're looking at the bigger view and go, all right, what, and kind of plot my course out. Okay, I'm going to go to whatever, you know, if it's one of these multi-zone emissaries where you're having to go all over the place, then, you know, to the office. You want to kind of plan it out in advance, and you have to have some sort of way to do that. I don't know without any add-ons at this point, because
it amazes me.
It's a bit much. Yeah,
a lot to do efficiently. Anyway,
it's like playing with default UI.
Oh, I won't even. I don't know if
Gab's in chat right now, but he's like,
oh yeah, I give him crap all the time. It's crazy.
Fix your UI, man. Yeah. So, is there anything like that we could expect moving forward with World Quest Party? Maybe are you kind of just looking at right now growing it and looking at the initial grouping party piece of it? Or are you looking at down the road doing some sort of like a bigger, you know, manage your World Quest or emissaries or anything like that? But
yeah, I think one thing that Backstabian are aligned with is the fact that we really want to focus on solving that problem. And mm-hmm. we've talked about, you know, maybe making other add-ons separately, mm-hmm. but we really want World Quest Party to really just make World Quest parties, right? Like that's, we want it to do that and we want to do it well. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to bloat it. We don't want it to be anything that people aren't expecting. And anytime we, you know, we were to push another add-on, it would be the same thing. You know, it's something that you download and you know exactly what you're getting. So mm-hmm. I think at this point, we're really just trying to refine what we have. Mm-hmm. We'll probably, you know, enhance our options menu a lot mm-hmm. to add some more customization. And, you know, we'll tweak some of the experiences, the defaults, based on the feedback we get and you know, what Blizzard decides they want to communicate as far as what they want and don't want. And we'll try to respect that as well. I think that plays a big part into this. And hopefully we can play nicely with them and stick around. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yeah, anyway. I hope so too. And you know, after better understanding the way you guys kind of rolled this out, I really, really appreciate the approach of like just trying to do something, you know, non-invasive, non-aggressive, just respectfully, but just like very useful. Like,
yeah, I'd love to see it integrate. You know, like I wouldn't even be mad, right? If we were out of business mm-hmm. tomorrow because Blizzard decides, hey, this actually is a good experience, let's build mm-hmm. it into the game. That's a success, right? That's mm-hmm. why we're here. So,
well, you saw that to some degree with you know, it used to be power auras and now it's weak auras where now, like when something procs, you'll get that graphic on screen, and you know, and a lot of that came from the old school add-ons that was, you know, helping you track combo points and procs and stuff like that. But yeah, you nailed it at the top. That were, you know, the world quest and emissary experiences, like out of the box is just kind of garbage, and you know, some sort of add-on, if not something in game, would be really nice.
Yeah, just something to make it more engaging. Yeah. And I think you engage people by bringing them together, not making it more difficult for them to play together in an MMO, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brett's looking for World Quest Fishing Buddy. No.
Yeah. No. I'll see what I can come up with there.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's like a IRL thing. I don't think you need that in game.
Nice.
I think we had a couple of non add-on things here that we were going to go over because we knew kind of our time frame here. But Daryl, do you have any other questions that you you had with this? Was that enough to wet your whistle?
I'll give it a download. I know I have World Quest Tracker because I've still had that from Legion, and I've tried to use their group finder thing, and it asks you to put this 5-digit code in. It's like, oh, put your 5-digit code in here. And I've done that and nothing happens. It's like, well, none of the quests that I'm on, like that, nothing happens. So it's like, well, this is useless. And it keeps popping up. So I do need to look into my.
It kind of reminds me of like when you have like a multi-factor or, you know, MFA or something on one of your accounts where it's like, here, let me text you this code.
Well,
you
gotta
go to this website, put this code in, and then and you're like, no, I just want to kill this rare over here.
Yeah, I know. So I've been meaning to look in the add-on just to turn that part off because I don't want the little pop-up anymore because it's useless. Mm. Like, it's like right-click to make it disappear. So that's the first thing I do is right-click to make it disappear because... But I just want to stop popping up.
Oh, especially if you're at the temple, like the main, or, you know, on the world side, if you're at that main, you know, the main kind of hub area, it's like, there's all sorts of like, you know, turn in these leathers or these cloths. And it's like, mm-hmm. those are just constantly popping up. I'm like, no, not only am I not doing that, I don't need a party so I can go turn in some herbs.
That's the first enhancement. The first enhancement we made to World Quest Party was suppressing. Uh-huh. The Tortolan and the supply quests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those don't pop up.
Yeah.
Those don't bother you. Right.
Nice.
Comp, did you have any other points that you wanted to maybe make about the add-on itself?
I mean, not too much outside of just, you know, if anyone has feedback, if you're using it and you have recommendations, things you like, things you don't like, reach out to either of us on Twitter, you know, myself or Backstabby. And just send us some information, you know. Be honest, and if you hate something, tell us you hate something. Making a big list of all the feedback that we're getting, and we're really trying to understand what those problems are. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't downloaded it, go do it. Because
absolutely.
We need you to download it. So, like I said, more people that have it installed, the better the experience is going to be for everybody.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get to that
point. Yeah, cool. Well, I think we had a couple other things here because, like we mentioned at the top of the show, you've definitely, you've been an evangelist for you know what to do at 120, and had some really good tips there. So, Darryl, I'll let you.
Yeah. So I was a little slow getting to 120, and I'm finding I haven't had a chance to do Mythic yet. But what is the best way you think to get some gear at level 120? Like, what's to get us raid ready? Raid's out now. Like, Old Deer is out. We can jump in there.
Yeah.
How do we get ready for that?
So, this is a relative answer, right? It's all relative to your skill level, the investment time that you have, and how serious you want to take it, right? Do you want to be in the raid the same week you hit 120? And, you know, that's really, that's obviously probably a little unrealistic, right? Second week. But, it's all relative, so I can just kind of speak to how I approached it, but it's not for everyone, right? You may want to take it easier and just focus on some pieces of it or whatever, but what I did was when I hit 120, you know, I went and I finished the war campaign, got my world quests all set up, right? Unlocked those, got those all set. That's your big one because those are your gates towards rep, so you really want to make sure you're doing those as much as possible because that's your rep right there. So you want to get your revered, you want to get your exalted for your 355s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I skipped normal dungeons completely. So when I hit 120, I jumped directly into heroic dungeons. Because honestly, the difficulty is not very different, especially now that people have gear. And you could do that by walking into the dungeon manually. Mm-hmm. So you had to be 310 or something to queue in, but you could walk in man. So I would make group under, just walk in, help them, right? Do it each dungeon once a day. You're done. You're looking good. And now that, you know, mythic dungeons are out, honestly, they're at 310. You're good to go into those. So do your heroic dungeons, do some world quests, buff that up, you know, buff up through heroic dungeons first. And then do your world quest because that level will scale. That eye level will scale based on what's in your bags. Mm-hmm. So you do that and you go through and do your weekly island expeditions. If you do heroic, you can do, I think it's like 4 or 5. I think it's 5 maybe, to do your weekly cap, which will give you a buttload of AP, which is great. And yeah, it's really just, you know, doing those things, doing your heroics, making sure you're sniping those world quests. I was a little crazy and I did all the world quests every single day until like this weekend.
Wow.
I didn't miss a single world quest, but that again, that's not for everybody, right? That's a lot of time to put in. So it's like pick your battles, right? Pick your battles of what you want to do Yeah, now that war fronts are out, you can if you're on Horde side right now, you can go and start doing your turn-ins, and that'll give you some resources and AP and work towards unlocking war fronts. There's the dungeon grind, the world quests. That's
one really of our one of our guys on our team recommended last night. Conrad said to go over to Alterac Valley and just go over with some friends or follow people around and kill rares, and he was getting 340 gear like left and right.
I think I only got
one piece, but he said he got like 3 or 4 pieces and some pets and some, you know, toys, and you know, we were over there last night, and I didn't have that luck with it, but I could definitely see that would be, you know, a good thing for now, you know.
Yeah, and the way that the war fronts work, they're not intuitive, as you could tell by if you read, you know, general chat in the major cities at any hour of the day, people are asking, how do you get into war fronts? Like it's a never ending question, right? Mm-hmm. So the way that those kind of function is that it alternates. So one faction will hold the war front, Rafi. And while they hold it, they'll have access to a world boss, which drops 370 loot. So save your bonus rolls for that, which you can pick up in the transmog area in the main city. So, like, I'm Alliance, and Horde are... So we control the Warfront right now, but what we have access to is to go to Arathi, do the world boss, and, you know, all those rares. And there's a bunch of things, like... war resources. There's some other these quests once a week, and you can unlock all that stuff and do the world boss, and then the rares, like you said, you can go in and farm those. And then on the Horde side, they can start turning in resources, and that's also another good way to get AP and work towards taking over the Warfront, which is where you unlock the instance. So if you go and go to the Warfront table that you have in your major city, and you can see the little timer, and it says, like, a completion bar. It says how much percent you've unlocked as a faction. Once that gets to 100, you'll be able to join the Warfront instance, and you'll get a 370 item from that.
Just automatically?
For completing it, yep.
Jeez, I feel like it's we're not even going to have... Horde's not even going to have it before Friday.
Yeah, so, it's been moving pretty slow.
I'm not even going to have it before we step into raid.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Going slow, really slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how it alternates.
Earlier, it was like, 30-something percent.
Yep. So it'll toggle one faction controls, the other gathers supplies, and it'll just keep going back and forth. And that's kind of how the control balance will work. But either way, there's 370 loot on either side. Just one, you have to wait until you fill up the meter, and then you can get it. Yeah.
So when does it alternate? So Alliance had it yesterday, I know. So when does Horde get it?
When we contribute a bunch of stuff that we don't.
So Alliance doesn't have to contribute anything?
Not while they have it. They'll have to contribute to get it back.
Oh, really?
Like once we get it, yeah.
So you guys just off. Alliance just got it at the start, and Horde have to go through this nonsense at the beginning? That's ridiculous. Faction bias, goddammit.
But there are incentives to be on the, you know, on the gathering side of it as well, right? Like, you have a lot better access to things like grinding that AP or the rewards from turning in those gathering and resources and whatnot. So it's like you're still gonna get that 370 just a little later. Whereas I could log in on Tuesday morning and I had a 370 in 6 minutes, right? And that's just, I guess, how the design of that works.
That's
I'm
upsetting.
Not saying it's the best thing, but
I find that upsetting now that I know this.
Well, it's annoying, but it's gonna at the in a month from now, it's really not gonna matter. You know, they'll have it, we'll have it, they'll have it, we'll have it. You know, it's like
one of those things.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to be all like fussy about it, but it is kind of like, you know, I was gonna make a comment earlier on Twitter, like, so how you all liking those Warfronts? Like, because it's been a couple of days and I don't even know. I have to watch videos to see what they're like.
Yeah, it's not the best, but, you know, one thing you do have to deal with at this point is, you know, instead of the artifact weapons, now you have the Heart of Azeroth amulet neck piece. So getting that rank up is something you'll have to, as you hit 120 and get grind. There, you gotta kind of grind that up a little bit. It's not going to be as bad as weapons. 100% will not be that bad, but it still doesn't feel great. And the reason behind that is because once you get into heroic or even mythic, the higher the item level, the higher the trait requirement is on its traits on the armor. So, you know, I'm ranked 21 right now or something like that. And I have armor that I can't use certain traits on it until I'm 25. Or I think the highest rank you need for current tier mythic is 34. The problem is you run into issues where you get an upgrade in raid, and it might not be an upgrade for you because you can't use its trait yet. And that's
the stats may be okay, worst. But you're missing however two or three of the traits.
So you could be bumping up 20-something eye levels but it's not an upgrade because you haven't, you know, unlocked that first or second trait.
Well, I'm still finding that already. I'm ranked 16. My Heart of Azeroth is at 16. And out of my three Azerite pieces, only one of them has the second trait open. I'm using only the first on all three, and one of them has the second. I don't have the third on any of them. So it's like, you know, only even at 16, I'm noticing this, and it's just...
Yeah. So the good side of that is that as you go further down the traits, like further in the circle, the less powerful the traits are.
Yeah, like the final one's just eye level, right?
It's just five eye levels, if you use something like Hero Damage, herodamage.com, I think, herodamage.com, that will have kind of a listing of all the traits and their strength, so you can kind of go in, look at how strong certain traits are in each in each tier, and see, like, really, what is an upgrade, how big of a deal is it if I use this or if I don't use it, and make a decision for it. So, it's not the end of the world, but it's not very... doesn't feel great when you get an upgrade and it's not an upgrade.
What are some of the most like efficient ways of grinding AP right now? I know you kind of mentioned the Island Expeditions.
Yeah, so Island Expeditions, your number one is that Island Expedition weekly cap. That's your number one. I think the most efficient way currently is still grinding Island Expeditions because you get the same amount for I think a heroic dungeon and then a heroic island expedition give the same amount of AP, but you can do an island expedition in less than 10 minutes or something. So that AP per hour is going to be a lot more in the island expeditions, but there's no loot, right? So it's a balance of, do I need loot? What's the balance there? There's also other things you can do. Like I said, the warfront turn-ins, that's a big one. Your dungeon grinds are a good balance, or even something like 2v2 arenas. Say, you know, you're really good at arenas and you can spam them and just win. Let's say you might stay away from it if you can.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe don't go that route.
Okay. I could spam them, but the winning part, I
don't know. That's where the trouble comes in.
Yeah. So, but like I said, it's a balance of how serious are you trying to take it, and what's the gain? Do I still need loot because I'll get AP and gear if I do this, or do I just need the AP, in which case, you know, maybe do island expeditions, or whatever the case might be.
Gotcha. Yeah, sounds fair. I know that my problem with island expeditions is that I feel like I'm done with those now. Like, they're fine, right? They're fine, but...
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, I want to go run a bunch of those.
They're, you know? They're underutilized. It's
Friday.
It's a great idea. I mean, it feels good to do one and to experience it. But then you do it again.
To do one, yes.
Yeah. Then you do it again and it's like, oh, okay. And then you do it again and it's, oh, it's that same three mage team that I'm facing again, and they do the same thing every time. So it's like, the idea is there. There's so much potential to really expand upon that system and to do something fun with it. I think the PvP ones are pretty cool. Not worth your time whatsoever, but they're cool. There's a lot they can do with it. I'm interested to see where they take it. It's a great idea. The execution is really shallow, right?
Yeah, I think it serves the purpose of AP. But, you know, I can see down the road. I can see that, you know, you need the AP to unlock the thing, to be stronger, to do the thing. And it's like, you know, there's the formula there. But right now, like, that's just not compelling enough for me to make me choose that over an alt, you know.
Well, and something fun with it is when you complete them, you can get those doubloon things and see through it. There's a vendor inside. You can purchase a siege engine. I don't know if you guys have used it yet.
It was glorious.
It was ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So you can literally finish an entire one in 2 minutes if you have your whole team get one. So I'm sure that'll get nerfed, but that's an option.
Yeah, I heard that was a strat. Like, Justin was telling me if you have one person that's a tank, everything.
So we'll see what they do with that, but it's fun. In the meantime, that's really fun to do.
Finishing one in, you know, in 2 or 3 minutes would be awesome, but that's because I don't really want to keep doing it, you know.
Sounds like world quest.
Well, it's a point, and I was talking with Justin about this earlier, one of our buddies. I was basically like, I'm not at the point, I think I'm like 335 maybe geared, and I'm not at the point yet where I feel like sturdy, you know? And even out, like just doing stuff out in the world, like I can handle myself. I'm not going to die. But like, it still doesn't feel good, you know?
Yeah.
And overcoming that is like, it's a weird thing to, you know, for that scaling to kick in and to feel like as you hit, you know, 117, 18, 19, 20, like that scaling just gets so lopsided that once you hit 120, then you have to battle up to a certain eye level to overcome that. And like, I don't know. It's like, I understand it. I just don't, it just doesn't feel good, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's not where it should be, right? It doesn't feel quite there, but also trying to keep in mind it is the beginning of the expansion. So our levels our stats are pretty low. So I'm trying to understand that. But then, like you said, I play with War Mode on and I play a rogue, which is ridiculous in world PvP. So I kind of feel bad when I run into someone like a shaman or a priest and it's horrible. Like destroy them.
They just get globaled. Yeah.
So it feels great for me. But for them, I would imagine it doesn't feel very great. But then I see a tank and I just run away because it's not worth my time, right? To bother trying to do that. So it's a weird place, and I don't know that we'll ever balance the world PvP side of it, but I think the PvE world quest interaction side of it should feel a little bit better as raid gear comes into play, and there's more balancing to come, I think we all hope at this point, especially Shadow Priest. But yeah,
yeah, right.
That's kind of, I'm trying to build as much as possible.
Yep, I like it. We'll I'm at 8.1, you know, addresses some of this stuff. In the last developer Q&A, Ian was very much like, hey, yes, we know.
Yeah, it's the age-old story, right?
But, like, we know, like, I don't know, I use that line of my kids, you know, when they're, like, complaining about something, I'm like, yeah, I know.
Well, it happens every time.
What do you want? Like, you know, I'm not doing anything about it. But, yes,
if you
I
look
know.
Back. Yeah, it's historically that's what it is. Every expansion we go into beta and we're like, oh, there's these things that don't feel great. They'll get fixed by launch, and then launch comes and they maybe still don't feel great, and it'll get fixed by 8.1, and then it's that ongoing kind of never ending story there. But it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe Daryl, you got this question.
Well, we kind of already talked about Warfriend, so I don't even know if I need that question in there.
No, I think it's one of those things that you just have to see it, because I did watch a couple of videos on it, and it is this weird mashup of like RTS MMO, like kind of the vibe of, you know, sending your collecting resources and, you know, that kind of stuff. But now that you've done it, Akamp, is there anything that you feel like you wish you knew ahead of time, or, hey, this is good information, make sure and do this, or?
Honestly, there's not much feedback I can give because you can't lose. That sounds right.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard too. Like, as much as it feels like a choose your own adventure, it's a very much, look, you're going to end up at, you're going to start at A, you're going to end at B. You know.
It's a PvE encounter in a fake PvP atmosphere, right? So you're facing a computer at all times. There's no other back. It's in kind of like, if you think about Back Valley implementation, if you take that and redesign it in a modern world, that's kind of what this feels like. There's different options. You can turn in resources. You can, you know, have it's like all of these battlegrounds pulled together into this one, like you said, point A to point B victory, right? At the end of the day, you're going to win. There's no losing. It's just, you go in here, you do these things, and you get a piece of loot once every time it alternates. So,
Okay. Right on.
But yeah, it's fun. I enjoyed it when I did it.
Yeah, I know I'm going to like doing it the first time, but, you know, my concern now is that some of the replay value on this stuff, you know.
Especially knowing you're going to win. that kills it for me. But
yeah, but if there was something at stake, though, wouldn't you be pretty ticked if something happened and you didn't get your loot because you
didn't get my 370?
Well, it's, you know, this isn't the only end game that we're looking at. You know, Raid's Old Ears out now. You know, there's a lot of, and I keep seeing, you know, the more you get through some of these emissaries, a lot more story opens. You know, who was it? The Zandalari, one of them. Oh man, I'm not gonna give too many spoilers, but I went on a super rad quest chain that had to do with Vol'jin, and man, I'm scratching my head wondering where they're going with this, because there was some super cool, not quite revealed, you know, like moments that you know, that it unlocked at, I think it was, I want to say it was Revered with one of the factions, but there's is it Honorbound?
Yeah, it's the 7th Legion for Alliance, and I think Honorbound is the Horde one.
I think it was Zandalari, or the, because there's been a couple of things that have popped up with the different races that weren't Honorbound or Champions of Azeroth. So I know, I'm waiting for Justin to say he would know, but
the Dark Iron Dwarves one was good too.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah.
It's pretty long.
Yeah, I want to see it's not the Maghar stuff. It's a whole different thing where you hook up with what's his name, Bomb Swamdi, and he sends you on this crazy, you know, you got to go take Vol'jin's ashes, and you got to go back to the Echo Isles that are like down off of Orgrimmar. You got to do it. Yeah, it is super cool.
That was cool. Yeah, it was.
That's the best character, Bomb Swamdi.
Yeah, he's the best.
Good.
He's awesome. Really, but there's a point in that quest chain where he freaks out, and you're like, "Oh no! Like, what is going on here?" You know. So, yeah, no spoilers, but like, dude, it is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be 100% upfront. I am the type that doesn't pay attention to lore at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. No idea what much of the story in WoW is, and I've been playing for years now. And this expansion, I've been listening to lore.
Typically, so that would have been me too, but I think doing this show now for so long, you know, and we do lore episodes, and we do, you know, kind of, you know, throwback stuff, or, you know, how stuff ties in, and you kind of like absorb it over time. But yeah, typically I'm like I get those add-ons that click through your quests for you, so you don't have to, I don't have to read anything. Yeah. Just click, you know.
I'm bad about it. But this one's been very interesting. I've really enjoyed the faction versus faction stuff.
I actually really want to level through the Alliance side, because I have the feeling I love what's going on the Horde side, but the Alliance side I think might actually be better out the gate. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I love the main story.
A time to do that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think we were gonna try to, Daryl and I were gonna try to do that to like a bro stream or something, but.
Yeah, it's great. The main story on Alliance side is really excellent, but the Horde side Nazmir quest storyline was by far my favorite zone in the whole game. I mean, that was excellent.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Main story Alliance, but Horde gets it on the zone story for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of Black Panther influence with the over there, and it's cool. Zandalari forever, and they're all just like,
That's awesome.
Well, Daryl, do you have any other questions?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm good.
A cop, any other, I think we missed anything? Anything we should know at 120 or?
I don't think so, man. Just get in there and don't burn yourself out. Those world quests can get to you, especially since there's so much gated behind.
Like you said, the 7th Legion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your contract.
Yeah, there's a lot of those weird, like, you had to buy these little things with resources that let you do a mission that let you unlock more flight points on the opposite faction. Like, I think I just finished those today.
Yeah, oh, the goodness. Outposts. Yeah. When there's only one that's actually worth anything. But the others are kind of junky. But the one thing I did forget is those contracts. When you hit 120, make sure you buy your contract for Champions of Azeroth.
Now, did they patch that in to where I bought one like right away, and it was like, okay, it's on, and then like I think one of the, I logged in, I want to say yesterday or something, and now it's counting down. There's like a 7-day timer on it or something, yeah. Like a weekly kind of thing. Yeah.
1 week persists through death. So, I mean, it's just a 1 week thing, but you'll be using, my recommendation is just use Champions of Azeroth, because that's going to be your 15 eye levels. Every reputation change through revered.
That's one of my buddies was like, wait a minute, why? Yep. He's like, his neck is like way, way past one. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
My neck, I think, is 365 or something right now. At rank 20, yeah. 21 or something. So
yeah, yeah. So when you hit honored, revered, and exalted, then with the champions.
Yeah, then guess, maybe switch to...
You go talk to Magni and he'll give you those upgrades.
Oh, okay. Yep. I didn't realize that's what did it. All right.
In cool. the Silithus portal, which is in your main city. You don't have to fly there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned that the hard way, too.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't
I actually got out all. There and saw a portal, and I was like, what the heck?
That's the one you took to get there in the first place.
Yeah. And then it portaled me back to the main city. I was like, oh, okay. I see how
that went. Nice.
Awesome. Well, if you have not already, make sure you come and join the official Training Dummies Discord server at discord.me/TTD. It is the best way to keep in touch and get real-time interaction with us and our community, as well as the awesome guests like Acomp that you have heard here on the show tonight. That is discord.me/TTD. And since the show is streaming live now, head on over to twitch.tv/thetrainingdummies and give us a follow so you know when we fire up the stream.
Hit it! It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got tonight?
Definitely a comp. Man, thank you so much. Yeah, I know I talked to you last week about doing this, and I just completely fell off the wagon and was doing family stuff and didn't get everything really buttoned up until today. But thank you so much. I'm really glad we got to talk about this, because I think that an add-on like this is important and could be really good for the health of the game, the world quest system, you know, everything like that. So, Daryl, definitely to you, man. Always a shout out to you, because couldn't do this show without you. Yeah, couldn't do it. To Jab, even though you use default UI, you're always he's always I don't know, man. If I wonder what that guy would do if he actually had like a good UI.
No kidding, going
on. And Justin, man, you're always a bro. Always always great to get in and talk things over and figure things out. So Daryl, what do you got, man?
Oh yeah, Comp, definitely. Thanks for coming on. I will download the add-on when I get the show uploaded and I jump back into game. First thing I'll do is I'll download the add-on. So you got me convinced right now. So thanks for coming on and talking about the show. I want to give a shout out to the whole guild though. Last Friday, you know, the raid wasn't out yet, but we had three full groups of people running dungeons last weekend or last Friday. So that was awesome to see. That was, you know, fantastic. So we should have a good chunk of people ready to go for raid here on Friday. So I'm looking forward to jump into there. And then, Rob, I give a shout out to you for stepping up to be our representative for the World of Podcasts at Con for the Storm this year at BlizzCon. So yes, Rob will be on, I believe it's the Warcraft panel this year at World of Podcasts. So we can all look forward to seeing him. A comp. Do you have any shout outs this evening?
Yeah. So, I mean, first off, definitely thanks to you two for having me. This is always exciting to be able to talk about this to whoever will listen to me yammer, of course. But, this has been really great. I guess the other person that I can't not shout out is Backstabby. Without him, you know, World Quest Party would not be a thing. So his participation in coding excellence has been just, this wouldn't have been a thing without him. Other than that, I mean, I'm currently playing with the Handicap Hangtime Guild over on Airy Peak. So if you're looking for a competitive two-night experience, feel free to reach out. A bunch of really excellent players over there. So that's, uh, definitely recommended there. Super active, so that's always nice. But yeah, that's really it. I mean, again, thanks you guys for having me on and talking about all of my world questing nitpicks and whatnot.
Well, before we wrap this episode up, then where can people reach you, stalk you, find you, poke you, send whispers to you about other add-ons?
Oh God, please no. So I mean, Twitter's the go-to. Twitter.com/acomp is the number one. If you're curious, check out my blog with guides from probably every MMO ever over at acomp.me. But those are my two. I have a YouTube, but you can find it on my Twitter or website. So yeah, cool. Feel free, reach out.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 220 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo! Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo! Woo!
So forget what I said before. Now is when things are getting weird.
Woo! Oh, a fan, huh? Well, who can blame you?
Thanks for all the love and support
at patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Perhaps you require more training,
dummies.
Uther.
I'm not dignifying that with a response.
Look, there's a little note.
patreon.com/trainingdummies
has not been evaluated by the FDA. Please do not operate large machinery or mythical creatures after healing. Side effects may include nausea, dimensional displacement, stomach irritation, and sentient discharges. Always consult a doctor before using
patreon.com/trainingdummies.
Was that not enough jokes? Were you not entertained?